people have powerful feelings about the traffic in Los Angeles, it says something that local officials warned motorists about a temporary road work closure on the 405 last year by calling it Carmageddon. Angelenos took the hint, and this weekend they're expected to steer clear of the latest 405 closure, named, of course, Carmageddon 2. That's how it is in L.A., a snarl of overstuffed freeways and commuters who keep their cool, except when they don't. KPCC's Stephen Cuevas has this profile of a punk rocker whose music expresses the insanity of L.A. traffic while extolling the virtues of public transit.
Couple of things you need to know about Eddie Solis. He lives in L.A., loves the band Kiss, and does not own a car.
Being someone who's from L.A., born and raised, and, you know, having a few cars in my past, I saw the city much differently through a different perspective through the eyes of a bus rider.
Want to stall way the back?
Sure. Line 18, Wilshire, Western Station.
Just steps from the front door of his home, across the street from a tortilla factory in L.A.'s Boyle Heights neighborhood, Solis catches a bus that connects him with the city's subway and the commuter train he catches to his day job at an indie record label in Hollywood.
It just opened me up to, like, little neighborhoods, galleries, clubs, bars, just everything. Just seeing what's out there, little pockets of the city.
Solis's journeys aboard L.A. buses and subway cars informs a lot of the material on The New Los Angeles Part 1, Through the Eyes of a Bus Rider, the latest release by the singer-guitarist band It's Casual. In Solis's vision of a new Los Angeles, people abandon their cars, climb aboard public transit, and rediscover their communities. One song extols the virtues of the L.A. County Metropolitan Transit Agency's Easy Pass and the urban underbelly it introduces to the rider.
And that's a nod and homage to, you know, the people who know what you can even go cheaper and really beat the system and really steer away from spending money on gas and oil profits and all that. Is all it takes for me to witness racial tension, for me to witness illegal aliens. It's not to paint a negative picture, it's just my perspective of what is seen.
Off the bus and back on the street, we make our way past a jazz saxophonist playing for pocket change and down a long escalator to catch a train.
So, where are we now?
We're at the Red Line station, the Pershing Square station in downtown L.A.
And what's our destination?
We're going to go down Fairs, another tier, and about 5 minutes we're going to get on the Red Line going northbound.
Okay, yeah. Let's go.
The Metro Red Line snakes from North Hollywood to downtown Los Angeles. It's the train that inspired It's Casual's signature tune and spawned a viral internet video. It was partly filmed late at night on a moving train as it hurtles from station to station. Solis thrashes away on his guitar and barks the lyrics, which celebrate the Red Line and call out the congested freeways that coil around Los Angeles.
Este es un tren de Metro Red Line a North Hollywood.
The freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the 210, the freeways are not so nice.
The thread that comes out of the record that ties everyone together is just like, be alive, don't be a victim of having a car.
MTA spokesman said he couldn't comment on Eddie Solis's furious pro-Metro message, but the Red Line video was a hit at the offices of Move LA.
Eddie's done a good job. Thank you, Eddie.
It's the public transportation advocacy group headed by former Santa Monica Mayor Denny Zane. He liked the juxtaposition of Solis blissfully riding L.A. public transit in one scene with scenes of the band raging against those notorious freeway jams.
Eddie is all frantic when he talks about highways. And so mellow when he's like grooving on a skateboard and on the bus and on the Red Line, there's a metaphor for the transformation, you know, from the, oh my God, I just got to get out of the traffic to, hey, this is cool. I can mellow out.
Or you can blast the tune like Too Many People as you claw your way across Los Angeles by car, bus, or skateboard.
Los Angeles! There's too many people! I want them to go away! Even though they think they're so free!
Too Many People could also be a motto for It's Casual. Over the years, the band whittled itself down to a power duo of Solis and a rotating cast of drummers. So you may think the burly, bearded punk rocker just can't get along with freeways, with people, or his native L.A. Not true.
I love it. I love everything about it. I've traveled throughout the U.S. many times, and I could never look forward enough to coming back. The weather, the different cultures, the landscape. I was just like, you know what? Now I know everyone moves to L.A.
Solis will bring the love and the volume during a Red Line mini tour next month. It's Casual will play a different venue within walking distance of several Red Line metro stops from Union Station to West Hollywood. For the California Report, I'm Stephen Cuevas.
That's the California Report, a production of KQED Public Radio in San Francisco. Our director this week is Nina Thorson. Seal Muller is our technical producer. We had additional engineering from Danny Bringer and Howard Gelman. Thanks to Hank Hadley at KCBX. Our online team includes Lisa Pickoff-White, David Marks, and Don Clyde. Our interns are Catherine Borgeson and Rachel Johnson. Tyke Hendricks is our elections editor with production help from Tina Lauerberg. We had editing support from Paul Rogers. Victoria Malione is our associate senior producer. Ingrid Becker is our senior producer. The news director is Bruce Kuhn. I'm Rachel Miro. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. And the California Endowment. Health happens in schools at calendow.org. And Chevron, investing in renewables, strengthening communities, and creating jobs. More information at chevron.com.
The 210, the 605, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the 210, the freeways are not so nice. The 101, the 405, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the I-10, the freeways are not so nice. The 210, the 605, the freeways are not so nice. I-5, the I-10. The I-5, the I-10, the freeways are not so nice. The 101, the 405, the freeways are not so nice. The 605, the 101, the 101, the 101, the I-10, the 210, the 605, the 101, the 405, the I-10, the freeways are not so nice. The red light.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Los Angeles Nista. I'm your host, producer Edward Solis, and tonight it's my hometown episode, Unincorporated Whittier, and two unincorporated Whittier institutions are present tonight. One being the 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. slot, the Legendary Music Revolution. We got Willie Garcia Sr. and Jr. here. And right in front of me, two guests from Shakey's Pizza, which is actually just east of Music Revolution on Washington Boulevard.
That's right.
And my two guests tonight from Shakey's headquarters in Alhambra.
Right, right.
Yeah. And I when I put this show together, I had no idea the corporate office was in Alhambra. So that's a nice little fun fact.
The nationwide corporate office is, in Alhambra, California.
So Cindy Stotts, that's who just spoke. And we have Angelique Tashi.
Hello.
How are you?
Great.
Very exciting. Well, you know what? We promote a lot of independent businesses through our radio show here on Los Angeles Nista. And the funny thing is, Shakey's, you know, is a chain, but you guys have honed in very, very, very strategic on a very mom and pop warm feeling. And whenever I'm in there, I don't feel like it's a chain. It's not sterile like a Domino's or a Walmart. It's very warm. It's very comforting. You guys serve comfort food. But
yes, we do.
But the funny thing is, you know, 7-8 months into it, you know, we've had different episodes. We've had the Long Beach episode. We had, you know, one of the managerial people here from the Aquarium of the Pacific. We've had the Highland Park episode, which consisted of Kathy Milligan from the Northeast LA Art Paper and a woman named, you know, Paula, who's from Acme Real Estate. So the guests are definitely wide range. When we did Pizza Nista, we had Salman Aga himself come in. That was great. And so I thought it was important to reach out to Shakey's and bring in someone to represent Shakey's, because unincorporated Whittier is a small area. And everyone thinks it's, I guess technically it's Whittier, right? But it's the geography between Norwalk and Sorenson. And I want to say Telegraph and Washington Boulevard.
Yeah, that's okay. About right.
A lot of industrial, right. some neighborhoods and main drags like Washington Boulevard. And growing up there throughout my junior high years and high school years, I committed to skateboarding. So I had a half pipe in my backyard. My neighbor had two half pipes, one in his front yard and his backyard. And mind you, this is when skateboarding died the first time. There's no skate parks. So it's like every man for himself. Where do you go? Well, there's street skating. You find the curbs, you wax them, you skate them. Or your parents are cool enough to let you build a ramp, right? So
you had the cool parents.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So the cool thing was, a lot of my junior high and high school years consisted of the summers being skate my ramp from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., go to Shakey's, have the bunch of lunch.
Awesome.
For an hour and a half, decompress. You know, it's nice and dark in there. You're like getting, you know, recharged with your peaches selection, salad, Mojo's chicken, and you got your, you know, your soft drinks, and it's like nice and cool in there. And then you leave at 2 when they kick you out. Well, they don't kick you out. I'm just messing around. Like, well, it just closes. Out. It just closes. You know.
Buffet does end at 2. That's
it ends
true.
At 2.
That's
and then
true.
We hit Washington Boulevard, and then we'll just have our routine. We had, you know, this place called Skate Paradise, which was, I want to say, it was more or less the business park next door to Shakey's when it was brand new. And it was Skate Paradise because it was all new development. So there was no cracks, no nothing. And it was just like slippery, like little ledges and like loading docks, total skatable. So we'd start there and work our way to Norwalk. Curbs, banks. And then at the end of the night, we'd go to Music Revolution and rent skate videos and take them back home. This is like VHS days. And get inspired. So when I'm talking unincorporated Whittier, people may think whatever they think. But to me, it's skateboarding, Shakey's, and Music
awesome.
Revolution.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So that, right that's on. My testimonial.
Well, thank you. That's awesome.
So Cindy Stotts,
mm-hmm.
I have a question.
Sure.
And I think everyone listening tonight does as well. What's the backstory of Shakey's? Can you give me the who, what, where, when, why, and how the whole chain started?
Of course I can.
Awesome.
Yeah, no, thanks so much. And thanks for having us. I'm happy to be here. And Shakey's, I mean, you're so right. I mean, we are a chain, but yet we are so much a part of every community, especially in Southern California. You know, we've been there forever. The one in Whittier, 49 years this year.
So they've the one been on Washington Boulevard?
The one on Washington Boulevard.
49 years?
That's right.
That's
so
insane.
Almost 50 years. So Shakey's as a brand is 60 years old next year. And it started with two guys, Shakey's, Big Ed Plummer and Sherwood Shakey Johnson. And Shakey was this very bigger than life guy, and he had suffered malaria, and so he had the shakes. And when he was in the Navy, they nicknamed him Shakey's. So they opened this pizza place in Sacramento, California on April 30th, 1954. He and his partner opened up this Shakey's in this old kind of refurbished little grocery store. And they opened just serving beer. They had $2 in the till, and they had a couple people coming in, and then the next day with the money they made with the beer, they started serving pizza, and Shakey's was born.
Wow.
And basically, Shakey's is the very first franchise pizza place that there was. They opened a second location, and then a third, and then the rest is really history. So it was born in California, in Sacramento, and in its heyday in the 70s, had over 300 throughout the nation. And so that's how it basically started.
Very exciting. You know, you guys have a linear story to Tower Records, because the inception of Tower Records, which is now defunct, is Sacramento. The first store was in Sacramento.
Oh, that's crazy.
And actually, a good friend of mine, he was the independent label buyer. So he actually worked at the corporate office. And when I visited him in Sacramento a few years ago, he took me to the first store, which was no longer in existence.
Right.
I walked into it's a different retail store now, but I was at the first store ever. So it was really cool to see something like that be a part of history. But you guys have a very linear story with the whole Sacramento aspect of it.
Yeah, I think the sign is in the Sacramento Museum that we had the original sign. So it's there's just a lot of history there. I mean, it's hard to be a brand that's last 60 years in
Absolutely.
Which we've done. So
I mean, that's like, you know, that's what the movie company tries to do with certain franchise movies. They try to keep doing them over and over and reissuing them. And it's hard to do that. So
it's definitely difficult to do that. But the greatest thing is when I travel throughout the country, and even just you, everybody has a Shakey story. Everybody I run into, they just, you're with Shakey's. I can't wait to tell you my story.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's everything from I had my first date there. We always went there after the, you know, soccer games.
YSO.
It's the place I had my first beer, sometimes underage. But, you know, okay. there's just everywhere you go, somebody has a Shakey story. So it's awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's very awesome. I think, you guys are building off a strong foundation, and you guys actually have a very consistent product. We'll go into that later.
Sure.
And we'll go into the whole social networking thing later, how things are operating these days. But for me, what would you say the mission statement is for Shakey's?
I'd say that it's for those people that love great pizza, Shakey's is a gathering place where everyone has fun. And for us, really, it's about being that gathering place in the community where people come and everyone can find something. You know, kids can play in the game room. Dad can have a beer. You can come watch sports. You can have a variety of food. I mean, it's just a place to gather, kick back, and enjoy yourself. And that's what we're about.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, being heavily immersed in skateboarding and like those 8 years through junior high and high school, and having one close to me, it was like, you know, when you take skateboarding very seriously, it's a sport.
Right.
It really is. And the whole routine was for 8 years is you go to my ramp 10 to 2 p.m. or 10 to 12:30. You skate it for 2.5 hours. And we skate 1 minute to Shakey's to decompress and get recharged. And then we street skate all night. Then go to Music Revolution and rent videos and watch them all night and get inspired to do it again the next day. That's the God honest truth. Okay, so for me, it was like, it was about, you know, going there with the intent to like, you know, recharge, you know, to continue, you know, in the middle of your day. Coming from team sports, I have a lot of memories there. You know, I played for Smith Park, Sorensen Park, baseball in Whittier.
Yeah.
So we would always go there and, you know, had a lot of history living in Pico Rivera. So, you know, go there with friends and watch a Laker game. That one in particular.
Right.
And what's cool about the Whittier Shakey's on Washington and the Pico Rivera Shakey's on Whittier Boulevard is that you could take the bus there. So you could drink and not have to drive.
And not have to drive. Very good.
So what's cool was we would go from like, you know, take the 10, the Montebello 10 bus line, and drops you off right in front of the Shakey's on Woodward Boulevard. And coming from LA, even today, like if I didn't want to drive and take the bus to Whittier on Washington Boulevard, you could take, like for instance, from downtown, take the Gold Line to East LA College and take the line 10 and transfer to the 50. And it takes you right there. I mean, that's what this show's about, is showing people how to be car free.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why so many people love us. It's exciting. So, you know, throughout the show, I'm going to have to drop those fun facts on you guys.
Sounds good.
Yep.
So, Angelique, it's a different time. It's not the 70s no more, right? You guys have a heyday in the 70s, but it seems like you rebranded the brand of Shakey's. There's billboard ads, there's TV ads, a lot of radio. And I noticed the product is more consistent than ever. And I've noticed that the customer service, the managers, I mean, it's changed. I mean, I'll be sitting, you know, at a Shakey's on Sunset in Hollywood Boulevard, in Hollywood, and have a manager say, "How is everything?"
Good.
That's never happened. So how do you spread this message throughout Facebook and Twitter?
Well, I do handle all Facebook and anything about Shakey's online. I see, I read, and if I can, I respond to it, because we want to provide consistent customer service, not just at the restaurant, but anybody who is talking to us. We want to make sure that if they didn't have a great experience, we can somehow turn that around and fix it, because we know that in this day and age, everyone's going to be talking on social media, and if we're not there, we're missing out. And that's no matter how old you are now, majority of people do have a Facebook account. They're talking about us whether we like it or not. And if we're not there, it's not a good thing.
Even if people say they don't have a Facebook account, they have a Facebook account to look at other people.
Exactly.
So yes. Everyone has a Facebook account.
Yeah, if you don't have it, you're on it. But the beauty, I think, of it too, and when you're talking about better service, is that you have this ability now to take care of people. If somebody has a problem, you almost hear it in real time.
Sure.
And so the ability to kind of be able to take care of any situations that might come up. So I think, you know, that helps too, that people know they're being listened to and being taken care of.
And the real-time aspect is really key, because when we hear about it and it's happening right then, like someone's in our restaurant and telling us, well, this is happening, or it's really busy at this location, we can talk to them and see, well, what is the issue? And then try to the best of our ability to get it fixed at that moment, rather than having to wait a couple days or however long for them to get home and get even more upset and call us. And so, I mean, some people, all they want is for you to listen and to know that there's an issue. And the more attentive you are and the better listener you are, the more people will want to come back, just because not only is it great food, great pizza, but they know that the company actually cares about them.
Right. So you're saying, if you just actually show up to listen, that's half the battle, really.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. And as far as the whole change that I've noticed, I noticed probably about 4 years ago, I said this. I think it may happen a little before, but right when I saw the TV ads, the billboard ads, and heard the radio ads, and kind of started going back there because I worked by one, I was like, you know, this is great. And, you know, it's just, you could get salads and, you know, balance your lunch out.
Right.
And it's $8 pretty much out the door.
It's
like,
affordable.
You know,
right.
I mean, most places you spend $8 and you get pure junk food, you know, processed fast food, fries and burgers and, you know.
Yeah. I mean, we are comfort food, but we do make our dough fresh daily. It's all quality.
Sure.
And like, especially with a bunch of lunch buffet, for under 10 bucks, you can get a really great meal, very fast, customized pizza, chicken, pasta, salad. I mean, it's a great deal.
Absolutely. And what I noticed when all this great customer service, let me back up. When all this branding started happening, I noticed, you know, I brought this up right now, all this customer service started to really grow. And I can remember back in the day when I played team sports or going there through my skateboarding days, adolescent skateboarding days, because I still skateboard, of being asked, how is everything? Like someone, you know, two managers walking through the whole place. And I thought that was really good customer service, and I was blown away. So it just seems like there's been a new trickle down effect from the corporate office to really make things more pleasant.
Yeah, I really appreciate that you notice it. And it takes a lot of hard work. I mean, again, I've talked about how being a Shakey's being able to survive as long as it has. And some major changes really happened within the last decade. We had the largest franchisee of Shakey's. The owner was hugely passionate about the brand. And there was a time when it looked like it's possible that Shakey's could go away. And he came on and took over and bought the company. And that's kind of when we really, you know, we're going to bring it back and we're not going to let it go away. And we're just going to continue to grow it and make it even better. And I think during that time, we've done some remodeling, tried to stay true to our heritage in the, you know, the food and the fun, but keeping it relevant too, so that we can continue to grow and continue to stay here in Los Angeles for a very long time and continue to be successful.
Sure. Let's go into some interesting fun facts.
Sure.
What's the oldest Shakey's in Southern California?
The oldest Shakey's in Southern California is located in Montclair.
How old is that?
Well, no, you got me there, but I believe that it's been there probably over, it's definitely over 50 years.
Wow.
I'm not sure when that one came into play, but yeah, so it's the oldest.
Now, you're saying the one on Washington Boulevard, that's 49 years old.
Yeah, 49 this year.
Now, is that actually a part of the chain, the corporation, location?
Yeah, Shakey's is franchised, so that's a franchise location. There are 24 corporately owned, and then we have over 35 franchisees. So we do have franchisees throughout. And a lot of them, you know, are the owner and operator of single units, meaning they own and operate their own Shakey's. So it is basically kind of mom and pop in regards to really being active in the communities that we have.
Sure. So, now, you know what's amazing, too, is that you guys are very instrumental in fundraising for sports teams or anything else. Like,
right.
You guys have an open door for that. How does that fundraising program work?
Basically, the fundraising, I mean, it's something we're really proud of. And a lot of restaurants do fundraisers, but we really have been doing it for so long. Just corporate locations alone raise over $500,000 a year for local communities and
groups.
And basically, it's really simple. If you're a nonprofit organization and you want to raise money for your school, group, team, for anything that you want to raise money for, just give Shakey's a call. And usually they are held Monday through Thursday. It's a 3-hour period of time. It's very easy. You just throw a pizza party and we donate back 20 to 25% of
the gross.
And of the net food sales. It varies by location, but it's between 20 and 25% depending on the location.
Of net?
Yeah. So it's so easy. You have a party, you make some money, and you have a great time doing it. So it's one of the easiest things to do.
Right. Now, as far as back to the online promotions, back to Angelique here, as far as like staying fresh, staying relevant, I mean, do you guys have to come up with like a new promotion every week online or something like that?
Well, online we do try to to keep talking about whatever is being promoted in the stores on other media. We try very to have a coherent marketing strategy. So if we're, like, for instance, starting today, in the LA locations, we're talking about our brand new product, the Cali Zones. And so that's what we're going to be talking about product wise on Facebook and Twitter too, because it's a brand new product. And as some locations just got it today, just started selling it today.
What is that?
Oh, it's delicious. It's our Cali Zone is a calzone type product made with our thin crust dough. So it's crispy.
Cali Zone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty clever.
So
not a calzone.
Yeah. That California centric Cali Zone.
Okay. So is there avocado in it?
There isn't avocado in it. But
everything that has like a California burger or a Cali sandwich, club sandwich, has avocado.
Well, we do have three different taste profiles, as well as a build your own option. But there is the barbecue beef, barbecue sausage. So it's barbecue sauce, sausage, green peppers, green bell peppers.
Right.
And then we have a chicken Alfredo, which is chicken Alfredo sauce and olives.
Sounds good.
And a vegetarian broccoli cheese.
Very nice.
So, and then you can also build your own with up to 3 toppings.
And how much is that?
It's only $4.99.
Really? At all times of the day, around the clock?
And it comes with Mojos.
Yeah, so under $5, you get a great meal.
Sign me up.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm up.
Yes.
So,
right? They're pretty big, too. It's great value. Like I said, $5, get yourself a calzone with some Mojo potatoes.
So is that like, is that new for the summer?
Yes.
Yeah, brand new. And that's what we're talking about right now on social media. And then we do come up with fresh content. We try to come up with fresh content every week. And we talk about what's going on in the sporting world and in the summer and just about having fun at Shakey's pretty much.
That's great. I think now if I had one day to take over Shakey's.
Okay.
You know what I would do?
What would you do?
Let bands play.
You know, music is, you know, it's actually very much part of our history. We used to, in the old days, they had like Dixieland bands played, and the founder's actually in the Banjo Hall of Fame. And
one of the founders is in the Banjo Hall of Fame?
Yeah, Sherwood Shakey Johnson is in the Banjo Hall of Fame, and there is a Shakey's that is recreated in that Hall of Fame. A little bit of trivia for you, I know. And so... They used to play banjos and Dixieland music, but as the years go on, it's harder and harder to have live music. So we do sometimes bring in live music, but on a regular basis, our entertainment is more, you know, now about the sports and television.
Sure. I mean, plus when there's live, I mean, in reality, that's a big undertaking. Yeah. There's insurance.
Yeah, it's so true.
I get it. You know, I mean, I know that industry very well. But I'm just saying, it's such a perfect warm environment, and it's got a consistent menu. Imagine having a band in the corner on Saturday nights.
Yeah, every once in a while we do. I mean, and we've had some locations that still do it every once in a while, not on a regular basis, but okay, we'll take that into consideration. I hear you.
So as far as the most popular item on the menu, do you guys know what that is?
Well, the most popular... We primarily, our core items are, we have the Bunch of Lunch Buffet, and then we have that combination of the pizza, chicken, and Mojos. So we call it PCM for, you know, our online folks. But the most popular specialty pizza is our Shakey Special. Mm-hmm. And it's an awesome pizza with olives and mushrooms and sausage and pepperoni. And it's
is that what you brought
forever.
Tonight?
Yes, I brought you a Shakey Special, so enjoy it. But, you know, really our core is the pizza, chicken, and Mojos. It's this combination that we have.
PCM.
And PCM, baby. Yep. Yeah.
And we
love that.
And we love it when people call it PCM.
Yep. Hashtag PCM.
Exactly.
And,
exactly.
You know, and really the number one pizza topping, pepperoni.
Of course.
We saw a lot of
never
pepperoni.
Goes out of style.
Never
right?
goes out of style.
I would say I would think from the outside looking in mm-hmm. that when it comes to Shakey's, the most active time would be, or the most sold thing on the register would be the Bunch of Lunch.
Yeah, I mean, Bunch of Lunch is a big part of our day, 11 to 2 daily. Some locations don't have it on
always
weekends,
packed.
But most of them they do. Yeah, I mean, it's a great place to have lunch. And you know, every from skateboarders to, you know, business people to construct. I mean,
I've seen DWP
everybody.
In there. I've seen Southern California
you
Edison.
Know, absolutely, absolutely.
You know, gotta, you know, weird dudes just hanging out.
Yeah.
But not too weird, but just like. You know, hanging out.
Hey, all are welcome, right?
Well, artist type, you know what I mean.
We love
artist
it.
Type
yeah.
with a lot of free time on their
of course.
Hands.
Well, the nice thing about Bunch of Lunch is that you don't have to wait for your food.
Exactly.
So it's a really good, quick, easy lunch.
Okay, I got a serious confession.
Uh-oh.
All right.
Okay.
So to this day, I eat my pizza with ketchup.
You're the second person we've heard about that from
today. I mean, I like either putting, you know, sriracha sauce or tapatio.
Yeah.
Or ketchup. But the reason why I started eating it with ketchup was because when I used to go to Bunch of Lunch, I'd have the Mojos and ketchup on a plate. And then it totally spilled over onto my pizza. I was like, oh, this is actually good. That was like 1991.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I still do it.
Yeah, you know, we do see a lot of unique ways that people eat pizza, rice, chicken, things they do with the Mojos.
Just let it be, right? Just let it be.
Yeah, you know, it's we created customizable meals the way you want it, right?
You know
there.
What's funny too? I mean, Shakey's has a beer, you know, bar. I mean,
yes.
I and wine, beer and wine, right?
Yeah, I mean, beer is a big part of our heritage and wine. We absolutely do. And how many taps varies by location, but I mean, we're a great place to have a pitcher of beer or a good, you know, mm-hmm. we have a great beer selection, and we do have wine as well, but beer is just really part of who we are.
How many locations are you guys out now throughout the U.S.?
We have, there's 64 locations, and 5 of those are in Mexico, and then the rest are throughout the United States. But primarily, like 44 of those locations are in Southern California. So We are really based, we are really a Southern California based restaurant.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah. To me, you guys are an LA institution.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. We absolutely are. And I mean, we are in Hawaii and Florida and Washington, and we are sprinkled throughout the country. But really, you know, this is Southern California is our home, and it's where we do feel like we are an institution and really serve the communities really well. And we will expand, but you know, this is where Shakey's is. I mean, this is our home for sure.
Right. You know, it's cool. Just like, you know, when you go through on a Saturday for whatever reason, like you just see like all these teams there, like, cause of whether it's baseball season or football season or what, soccer, it's just amazing how, like, you know, even like I got out of sports to commit to skateboarding, an individual sport, right?
Right.
And it was like, mm-hmm. I still saw myself there daily to like decompress between street and ramp sessions in the 90s, you know, when I was young. And then you got the people who subscribe to team sports ending their day there. So it's definitely a hub.
It's a hub.
You know what I mean?
That's why, and it's back very to community. The gathering place.
Like
it's a community.
Old friendly pub, right?
Yeah,
that's what it
exactly,
says.
Exactly. Exactly. No, for sure. And there's all kinds of reasons people go there. Obviously, you know, group sports, that's, you know, we very much are into that. But there's a lot of reasons. Families gathering there on a Friday night after a long work week. And, you know, on Saturday, exactly, you've had your morning game. Let's go have lunch at Shakey's. And birthday parties. So many people, I remember celebrating their, you know, birthdays there. And we've just recently had people, you know, a couple of people celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary wanting us to help them celebrate because they met at Shakey's or had their first date at Shakey's.
That's pretty cool.
It's crazy.
That's pretty cool. And you know what? I got to commend you guys. I mean, you know, you got all the $5 pizza retailers out there, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But you know what? You guys haven't budged, and you guys definitely have set your standard. You know, and it's very, it speaks volumes. I think as far as new product coming out, you guys have the Calzone, but is there anything else coming out at the end of the year that you want to talk about?
You know, it's I just really want to touch base back on what you said about, you know, really competing in a world with, you know, $5 and $10 pizzas. And one of the things Shakey's was always famous for was these kind of irreverent signs that we had in our building. And there's one sign that we had and we still have to this day. And I just think it's perfect. It just says, Shakey's has no quarrel with those who sell for less. They know what their product is worth. And so we really,
there's, you know, standards.
We do have standards. We do have some new things coming out. We have a new happy hour coming out with some new menu items, but I can't really talk about them quite yet. But it's coming out in the next couple of months.
So that's like a new campaign you guys are working on?
Yeah. So we are always working on, you know, new products, but really trying to, you know, keeping the core things that we do best the way we do them best. So, but there's some new things coming out in the next couple of months. So stay tuned.
What's the oldest Shakey's location, period, in the whole chain? Is it the Montclair one?
I think it might be the Montclair.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the Montclair location is the oldest.
What's your favorite?
What's my favorite? They're like location. My children. I don't have
everyone?
A favorite.
You can't say.
Yeah, of course.
What
no,
about you?
Yeah.
Same thing. I can't pick one. That wouldn't be fair.
Yeah. No, they, you know, each one has its own, you know, we are consistent, but each one is different. And, you know, it's not just the building and the Shakey's that I love, but it's the people that work there. And I just love, I've been working for Shakey's for 21 years and I just love
congrats.
It. You know, so it's a lot of us have worked here a very long time. And so to pick one, like I said, it's like your children,
right.
These, you know, they're great people and great food and, they're all great.
What's your newest location?
Our newest location.
Or a handful of locations. I'm just curious.
Yeah. Some of the newest locations we've have, one opening that had opened in Fontana. Rancho Cucamonga has a kind of a whole different look than most of the other Shakey's, so you might want to stop by there and kind of see it as a bar. It's still beer and wine, but it has kind of like a more bar setup where you can sit at the bar and watch TV. And so those are the newest ones in Southern California, and then we've opened new ones recently in Hawaii and, like I said, Florida and Washington. And so we've opened, and then the new ones in Mexico are all new. So kind of opening outside of California right now. But we still, you know, are looking to open it more here.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it probably seems like there will be there's probably no reason for Shakey's to ever deliver. Because everyone wants to go there.
Oh my gosh.
After they're gonna have pizza.
That's the greatest question. You know, Shakey's has delivered over various, you know, various times of its lifetime. But just like we were talking about before, we found that you know, those that deliver, they know how to do it and they do it well. And it's,
and let them.
And let them. And let them do it. And that's what they do. And get back to, we know what we do well. We are a gathering place and we want you to come in, have a good time, have our product in the best light that it can be and right, fresh, hot out of the oven. I mean, definitely you can take it to go, but you know, that's exactly right. Let the people deliver, let them deliver, and come on in and see us and we'll take really good care of you.
That's
give you
awesome.
A great meal.
You know, I've always wondered overall, like, can you say how many pizzas you sell per year? How many pizzas are sold? Just pizzas in general.
Gosh,
or at a location or chain wide. I thought that'd be awesome to know. Or how many Mojo potatoes have been
those are great
rung
questions.
Up at the register.
And Angela keeps having to come up with trivia questions every week for Facebook. So
we'll
have to find the
you.
Answer. You know, I can't even ballpark it. That's incredible. I can't even ballpark that.
Regarding the Mojo potatoes, I'm going to say a lot.
Yes.
Because that is one of the people are always talking about them and saying how great they are. So, yeah.
You guys got a pretty good original recipe too.
Yes.
Hopefully when we go off the air, I could get it from you guys.
No. It's so secret. I don't
so
forget.
Secret?
Yeah, but we definitely have proprietary, you know, recipes in a lot of our items.
Question though.
Sure.
The Mojo's unique. No one else carries it.
Right.
Is that something that actually has a patent or intellectual property?
Yeah,
yes.
The Mojo potato is something that we
trademarked?
Own. Yes, we have registered trademark of the Mojo potato and the spice blend and all of that. So it's something we own. We actually have a lot of, you know, Shakey's in general is often copied and the Mojos are definitely one of those things. And so we do protect it and you see them other places, but we absolutely have the trademark and rights for that.
Very well done. Well, Angelique and Cindy, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. So much fun.
We're going to take a music break, eat some pizzas, Mojos.
Awesome.
And we're going to get Willie Garcia, Senior and Junior, on from Music Revolution.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Michelle Barton from La Mascota Bakery in Boyle Heights. You're listening to Los Angeles Nista at SkidRowStudios.com.
This episode of Los Angeles Nista is brought to you by La Mascota Bakery, a family-owned business serving the community since 1952. Tamales and sweetbread, made the old-fashioned way daily.
Yeah. myself.
California's not an idea machine. California,
And welcome back to Los Angeles, Anista. Thank you so much to the women from Shakey's headquarters, Cindy Stotts and Angelique Tachi. Now, to continue the unincorporated Whittier episode, the other component to this episode is Music Revolution on Washington Boulevard. And my in-studio guest tonight is Willie Garcia, Sr.
Hello.
How you doing?
Nice to be here.
Cool. And Willie Garcia, Jr.
Hey, now.
Hey. This is awesome because, you know, a lot of people that I went to school with and didn't go to school with but grew up with went to Music Revolution to buy different things. But I don't think anyone ever knew how the vision came to the family to start the business. Can you tell us, Willie, how that happened and what year it was?
Well, the business was opened by friends of ours in 1972, and appropriately named Music Revolution because that kid, that family was into music. FM radio was very, very new. And that whole lifestyle just sprung up, and they opened a small little shop. And it was mostly about having some albums in there.
And back then it was vinyl.
Oh, of course. I meant albums.
Right, right.
It was vinyl and 45s, and mostly vinyl because the person that I'm talking about was, I mean, FM radio was really new. So there wasn't even record stores very much. There was just like a Wallach's Music City and things like that for, I remember at that time, the records that I knew of were like Ray Charles and Ella Fitzgerald and things that your parents would play on their big old household, you know,
those
stereos.
Big wood stereos.
Yeah, where you, that was music.
Yeah.
And that was records until FM radio just blew up at that time. So,
sure.
Anyway, they had some family issues, and my mother, who was just really smart about finances, and she was in real estate, had a retailing background because her father owned a little grocery store.
Okay.
And so anyway, she bought the business for the family to run, and that turned out to be just a blessing for everybody in the way that because she loved music, and my brother, primarily Ray Garcia, he was involved in the lifestyle.
Sure.
Right? And that's where we started the part of Music Revolution that has been a big part of Music Revolution, and that was our pipe shop and posters and the old head shop.
Exactly.
So between my mother doing the music end and him putting together that pipe shop and both of those social phenomenons getting huge.
Simultaneously,
right? Yes, from the early 70s till today, we just sort of rode that wave, and it's been a great, great, great ride. There's nothing like having a product like music that got free advertising 24 hours a day on the radio.
Sure.
Right? Everybody had to have their music just like they have to have their music today. And you could only get your music if you went to a music store.
Right. I mean, so back then, I mean, there was no, obviously, we're talking the 70s, 80s.
Yeah.
There's no downloads.
We bought it in 77.
Right, right. So people hear the music, which is free advertising from the FM stereo, and they're excited because it's something new. And they go to their local record shop. That's the only way you could get it. So you guys, and we'll get into this later, but you've seen the climate changes in all different directions of the music business and retail.
Right.
Right. So let's talk about the locations. Now, I'm not sure where the first location was. This may be it. But you guys were actually on Norwalk Boulevard.
Right.
At one point. Was that the first one?
Yeah, that was the first one.
Okay. I remember that. I bought Appetite for Destruction on cassette there in 1988.
Yeah, see, cassette was the second wave. When we first started, there were no cassettes. It was just vinyl.
Right, right.
And then the whole business had a rebirth with 8-track.
Yeah, don't forget the good old
8-tracks.
8-tracks came out, so people who had vinyl wanted to redo their catalogs in 8-track. Same thing happened again with cassettes, and then the same thing happened again with CDs. So it's been a real pleasant ride. It was a really nice 30 years.
Right, yeah. Now, then from that location, you went to a very big location which was just like this across the way.
It was across the street, right. But it was on the corner where a gas station had moved out. So we went from a very small, lots of just mom and pop stores.
Sure.
Strip mall.
Sure.
To the corner of Washington and Norwalk Boulevard.
Just when the new shopping center, when they put food
No, no.
In.
We went to the southern Brito's side Brothers. Of that, where the Mexican restaurant
is
now.
That was the second one.
Yeah.
Right.
We were only there for 5 years because once we moved there, I mean, we literally just doubled and tripled our business almost overnight. And we outgrew that place so fast. There wasn't enough parking. And again, things were really, with music and the pipe shop, the head shop, just blowing up. That once we went to that second location, in that matter of 5 years, we had to get a bigger place.
Right. And then the third place was the place I was talking about.
Yes, in the new shopping center.
Right.
And, I mean, we...
How much square footage was that? That was a really big store.
It was really big. We rivaled... we had a Blockbuster-type video store inside and right. And a Music Plus-type...
music selection. Music CDs selection and vinyl, because some of the vinyl still was doing good in the hip-hop community for DJs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you guys had, like, clothing.
Yep. Skateboards.
And skateboards. And then the head shop.
Right.
Right. And that was like, you know, huge square footage. And that was like really a statement in my book, because there was others, you know, shops that were just music only. Like you had National Compact Disc in La Habra.
Mm-hmm.
And that was decent size, but it was still considered small. And then, of course, LaBelle's in Uptown Whittier, which only did music. But you guys really made a statement with that store. So fast forward present day, and now you're at basically on Washington Boulevard, just across the street.
We're still on Washington Boulevard. Let me go back to one of the points that you made. And then actually the point of your show here is that unincorporated Whittier allowed us to have the pipe shop, which a lot of other stores couldn't do that.
Right.
So that little section, which is unincorporated, we didn't have to deal with
Whittier
city city fathers, city people who thought that maybe the head shop wasn't an appropriate thing to have around. So because we were in an unincorporated area, we didn't have those restrictions. And that was another blessing for us.
That was a plus to do business.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you were trying to operate in the city of Whittier proper,
right,
or maybe a different city, it would just be tons of red tape probably.
Yes, obviously.
Obviously, yeah. So
a lot of people tried.
Right. Right. So now to bring us back to speed to present day, you guys just opened this new location.
Well, we moved again, our right. fourth move. And it, as a result of, you know, the retail climate changing, we don't sell much music anymore because most people get their music online.
Sure.
And
even if they order physical music, they'll buy it through Amazon.
Well, they can buy it through Amazon, but they're just the numbers of people that want a physical disc is not enough to support, you know, a music store any longer.
Right.
I mean, Tower, you mentioned Tower in the last thing, they're gone. Everybody's gone except Amoeba, and they just, that's a sort of its own little world.
Exactly, exactly. Now, as far as... Again, I think you guys being in the area still is a statement because you guys have touched all four corners
right.
of Norwalk and Washington. I mean, now four moves, that's not a lot for as long as you've been around. I mean, because you guys have been around since, what, 77,
77,
right?
Yes.
I mean, that's, how long is that? It's 36 years.
Right.
So that's a move every 9 years, and it's not a move, like, off the map. It's just adjusting to the climate and
right.
just the same corner, Norwalk and Washington.
Yeah, the first two moves were to get
smart,
bigger,
actually.
Which we thought was smart, obviously. Otherwise, we wouldn't have done it. But the first two moves were to get bigger, and the last two moves were to get more compact and be able to sustain a business.
Right. I mean, at that in the business, it's supply and demand.
Right.
You know, why stay in a huge shop if the demand isn't what it was? You're smart about your numbers and, right. and the way you do your business. Now, what would you say the inventory that you sell these days, what's the majority of it, your specialty?
It's about split 50-50 now between the pipe shop and clothing.
Gotcha. And so the music is very, very, very few selections compared to what it was. Like, you guys had a deep catalog selection.
It's not even close.
Right.
It's not even close. Right. We do a lot of special orders. We've tried to educate the people that do come in that we're probably not going to have what they want on the floor, and they're not going to be able to walk out that with it that day. But we use the internet and we use the computers to order stuff and have them come back and pick it up in a couple of days.
And you have your vendors still, your one stops that you deal with, and you could get stuff for everyone. Now, as far as the location you're in, so obviously you guys probably signed the lease.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you guys will be there for a few years at least. Mm-hmm. Now, when you made this move, it seems like things come full circle, right? I mean, 36 years later, you guys made the rounds, and then you see you guys are still standing, and then the people's kids are coming in.
Yeah, we're in like their third generation, families.
Exactly, and it must be very similar to a lot of other family businesses where you guys are truly a part of the neighborhood,
right?
You know, and you have your loyal customers. Would you say that for the most part, people have changed, or is it just really the media that has changed and how they talk about things differently?
It's really complicated, and I don't want to kind of ramble, but we have seriously three different generations of customers. You know, the older ones, I mean, the plus 40, you know,
late 40s
or plus 40s, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's been 36 years, right? So if they were coming in when they were 10, you know, now they're 46.
Sure.
So, but a lot of those people still come in because they still come in and buy their papers, or they do this or do they do that. And it's pretty surprising how many older customers we have. And then there's that middle group that are in that 20 to 40 age, and that's you and a lot of people, you know, that grew up with Music Revolution from the times they were in junior high to the times that they were out of school and in college and partying and buying, you know, their CDs and records and cassettes and everything else.
Absolutely.
And then there's the other group are the youngers, the under 20s, that's the challenge now, is to try to reach those people because they don't know the history.
Right.
And
maybe they don't have an older brother or a father that went there. They're just kind of new to the neighborhood maybe and really don't know.
Right. Well, they're new to life in a way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, inexperienced.
Yeah. You know? So they come in as high school kids, and it's just different. We're sort of not the crazy, wild place that we were before because there's a lot more competition. A lot of people who have, frankly, tried to copy the way that we do things.
Right. I mean, but that could raise a red flag, but it could also be flattering because it shows that you're doing something right.
It's flattering, but, you know, it's competition.
It's also competition,
it's tough,
though,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, do you think there was, like, a store like you, like Music Revolution, what's the translation, like, when the dispensary is open and all that, like, and things are more accessible to people? Does that mean you're able to sell more of the head shop kind of inventory? Was it a direct translation of more sales, or was it still very competitive?
Well, the competitive part was more noticeable to me because people who are involved in that lifestyle, they don't really say, oh, now somebody says it's okay to do that. I think I'll do that now. They were already doing that. So it was almost negative to have the dispensaries open because that brought in people who wanted to compete with us. Whereas before, we had the nicest, the biggest, pretty much the only real significant head shop in that area.
Sure.
And once the laws somewhat changed and dispensaries came out, then it seemed like every 2 months you'd hear of a new store opening.
Right. Now, as far as talking from a business standpoint, you know, because all my listeners, what I want to do is for every episode I do is just educate them with a backstory and how much work goes into independent business, whether it's a restaurant, a skate shop, or Music Revolution. Now, I mean, from the outside looking in, because I know the industry, and I'm sure you got way more information to put on top of what I have to say. I mean, it's never ending, right? Yeah. I mean, if you take it home with you, you can easily. There's this, I mean, all the ordering from your vendors and then having to deal with pre-orders, and maybe when stock comes in, stuff, the feel isn't there, and you have to talk to your rep, and you have to do that for everything, and then competitively price it out so that people want to spend their money there, and then create an environment that people want to be in. I mean, how do you do it?
Well, it's definitely, it's been my life for the last 25 years.
Right. You know? I know your son's worked there half his life.
He was, what, 14 when he started working there.
Yeah.
And it has been our family's business. It, you know, it's a family business, and that's truly where it comes to. Like, with your family, you do whatever you have to do. So we've all aged, and we've had young ones come and go. Things have changed. We used to employ 12 to 15 people, and now we're down to 2 or 3. But you just make those adjustments.
Mm-hmm. You adjust with the climate.
And
right?
If you're committed, then there's not really a lot of options. You know, I'm at my age, I'm there 12 hours a day, 4 days a week, you know, and then 8 to 10 hours the other days. And, but I like it. You know, I like being there. I like the family atmosphere. Mm-hmm. I had my time when things were going really, really well, where I only had to be at work for 15 to 20 hours a week because we had so many people working there.
Sure.
And so that time has gone, and now I'm in the situation where this is what I have to do, and so that's what I have to do.
Right. But, I mean, as far as it's just being an independent business owner, I mean, there's a lot of steps that you as a buyer have to take before the customer comes in to see the product on the shelf. I think that's what I was trying to explain to the people out there, how much work goes into it, right?
It's a lot of work. Yeah. And like I said, the business climate's really, really tough. The amount of retail money that people have to spend, the amount of...
Their discretionary dollars.
Discretionary dollars, right, is really different than it was, you know, 7 or 8 years ago. And so we have to be, you know, we have to adjust to that. We have to deal with that. We have to
make smart decisions.
You know, even smarter with our decisions and more economical with decisions that we make, you know. That's, and we also have to grow. You know, we have to grow as far as our knowledge of how to promote the business, how to promote the business to the younger people, which is online. And that sometimes can be really difficult for, you know.
Well, yeah.
Of us.
It definitely, because, I mean, you know, like our previous guest, Shakey's, I mean, and a lot of other, you know, bigger companies, they have a full-time person just doing that. It's a whole job, you know. And a lot of people have in their head that sometimes, you know, just because their kid is, you know, BSing on Twitter or Facebook. I mean, when a business does it, it's to truly get send a message out about the business and to be strategic about what you're putting out there. So, I mean, that's a whole other job in itself. So, I mean, that's, you're right. You know, it takes a lot of work.
It's really challenging. It's not just showing up and opening the door, that's for sure.
Right, right.
It's a lot of hard work.
Right. So right now, as far as like the margins go, I mean, obviously the head shop inventory has a bigger return than pre-recorded music.
Right.
It's always been that way though, right?
Well, always, yes.
Yeah, but also costs more to bring it in.
It can. It's been a good business for us. You know what I mean? And just because, you know, I feel in the open and free to speak.
Sure.
Is the music part of the business? That was my mother's thing. She was really into it, and then
she
we
was
sort
a
of
fan
got into
also.
This one here was really into.
Oh yeah.
It. And but the other part of the family.
Still am.
Yeah. But the other
he was the reason why I kept going in there. He's like, man, this guy knows punk rock.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it's even in our family, you know.
Sure.
My brother was just super into the pipe shop, super into it.
Like you said, the lifestyle. He was in the lifestyle.
In the lifestyle. And then, and he, from, you know, my mother, who was very business oriented, you know, put those two things together. And that was a great business because a lot of people were in that lifestyle. A lot of people lived that lifestyle.
I mean, it went
today.
Especially in the 70s.
They go hand in hand.
Hand in hand. I mean, you're talking 77, you take over. I mean, those years, 77 to 82, it's like the head shop and rock. You know what I mean?
And
I
then
mean,
really from 82 to 2002,
yeah,
there's people walking in. That lifestyle is still,
thriving.
It's still thriving. Right. I mean, there's young people want new things. That young people want different things. Young people want their own things.
Now, I've always wondered. Now, you guys combined, you know, the head shop with music. Were you the guys the first to do that in SoCal? I mean, what?